Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have a very special treat for our regular listeners in particular. The one and only, the world famous, our very own, and I say our very own, Larry King is here. Welcome, Larry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here. It's a great opportunity to be here and to see you. I don't see you very often.
Right. We did this a few years ago, and we were glad to have you, and it went very, very well. And we want to catch up with you with all the things that have been going on in your life. You're a regular announcer on our classical station, and people don't have the opportunity to hear much about you other than the fact that you introduce the music. So this is a great opportunity to find out everything there is to know about you. You started out as a child.
I did, yes. I am a Jersey boy. Grew up in New Jersey. And
hey, how you doing?
Yeah, right. around New York. So I was influenced by, among other things, the radio stations in New York. I was fascinated by radio at an early age. And I was also interested in music. I started playing the trumpet in the fourth grade, and I started taking private lessons that showed some promise. I don't know what promise it was, but
promise to get you started, right?
It got me started, and it was mostly band music, and you know, fourth through into even into high school. I didn't really get into any symphonic music, other than stuff that was arranged for concert band until I got into high school. There was an orchestra there, mm-hmm. and I played in the town symphony orchestra.
Okay.
For a couple of years, and played in the town concert band, and I loved it very much. And that's what I did in New Jersey, and then I went off to college. When I was 18, I wanted to be a jazz musician. Mm-hmm. My parents thought I was crazy, and they were probably right.
There you go.
So I went off to school, went to Ohio, and there I studied music.
Well, that's the hotbed for jazz musicians, Ohio.
Yeah. But
I thought you were going to say you moved to New Orleans.
No. Okay. Ohio.
So you did the right thing.
I went to Ohio. Well, but keep my parents happy.
Right.
And I studied music there, and I also studied in the speech department, which had a radio station. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had a double major, actually, in music and speech, and it served me well. The liberal arts education, and also the music education. There's some teachers, professors I was very fond of. One of my music teachers was a named Tilden Wells. He taught music history and had this great collection of classical music. In those days, vinyl records.
Sure,
and he had this really fancy said he could play it back on, and he did, and I learned a lot, mm-hmm. because it was a lot of listening with his classes, and he was also open to bringing the students home to his house, and he had another fancy stereo system then,
right.
in his home, and we'd have dinner and we listened to music.
Excellent.
So that's the advantage of going to a small liberal arts college in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And then things progressed, and you ended up somehow here in beautiful New England.
I did. I came to the Boston area in 1969 and lived and worked in Boston, not in radio. I didn't know how to get into radio. They didn't teach me how to do that. They just taught me, I just had fun with the college radio station. And wound up moving to Martha's Vineyard in the 70s, and lived and worked in the vineyard for a period of time. And one of the jobs I got when I made this, I would say, career right turn.
Almost lifestyle change, I'm sure.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Is they started a radio station there.
Hmm.
And I was hired initially to help put it together, literally. you know, I was doing carpentry work at the time, so I applied those skills. And then the day came and was in July, hot afternoon in July, when I put the hammer down and we went on the air. There were no interior doors. There was no air conditioning. there were just a pile of records on the floor, and I winged it. And we were on the air from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And that was the big change.
Okay. And then our audience, of course, knows you back from the WCRB days.
Yes, yeah.
And which was kind of, I describe it as a parent station of WCRI. It's not really the case, but that's where it all started for the Jones family that owns WCRI. And so that's when you came on board, somewhere in that era.
I did, 1995. I was doing other kinds of radio, and I decided that I wanted to make a change in my life and do classical music, which I did. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge at first, but I overcame it, and WCRB in Boston at that time was what they call a heritage classical station. Mm-hmm. It was known nationally and internationally. They did a lot of technical improvements in FM broadcasting early on with Ted Jones, and then in the more modern times, when Mario Mazza came up from New York, they changed the programming around and became a very, very successful radio station. It was in the top 10 in the Boston market, which is quite an accomplishment for a classical station.
Sure, absolutely. And then things changed, and WCRI came to be in being, and you stayed with the classical network, as we call it now.
Yep.
And so you're on air for us in the evenings, right?
Yep.
And so that's how our audience gets to know you and recognize your voice. You've taken a trip recently.
I have.
And that's one of the reasons we asked you to come in, because you have some great experiences in going to Europe. Just touch on that briefly, then we'll listen to a piece of music to get us in that European mood.
Okay. Well, my son and I travel to Europe together. We do our own tour, and we become really involved with the culture and the lifestyle of every place we visited, and also the music. Mm-hmm. And we visited Prague, and then we went to Vienna, and then we went to Salzburg, and then to Munich. So I think Prague, I think of Dvorak, and I think of his first Slavonic dance.
All right, let's listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
now we have everyone dancing in the aisles and in the mood. That's it.
Glenn
always,
Miller.
Yeah, it's always a treat to listen to that. It's very, very invigorating, shall we say. So you're in Prague.
Yes, we flew into Prague and we stayed there for 4 nights.
Before you start, I have to ask you about your traveling with your son. I know I have, my son and I have some like interests, but I can't think that we would ever do a trip, the two of us, to go to visit Europe. So what's the relationship there? Is he a musician?
He is. He's a cellist.
He studied
music and studied cello and did very well. And he doesn't make his living playing music. That's not his day job, but he still has an interest in classical music, and it's our common interest.
Excellent.
So we do these tours, but we also visit the Boston Symphony Orchestra and hear concerts in the Boston area, classical concerts.
Okay, so that makes sense. All right, we got that part. So now back to Prague.
Oh, Prague's a beautiful city. I would highly recommend it to anybody who would like to visit. It's a little out of the way, probably not as well known as, say, Vienna or Berlin, but... It's a city that's very walkable. All the streets and the sidewalks are cobblestone, so the cars sound very noisy when they drive by. I chose Prague because of Dvorak and also because of interest in another composer from that era called Smetana, his name Bedřich Smetana. And so we toured these areas where they were, shall we say, living right now. We visited the grave sites of Dvorak and of Smetana, beautiful place on the high hill, because the city of Prague is very hilly. Yes, there is the Moldau, which is the river that's in the valley, but we do quite a bit of walking. So we visited those places and, you know, got a sense of what it was like during that time. They have a lot of statues. Everybody seems to be above ground by and large. So we enjoyed that. Also, we visited the Lobkowitz. Well, there's a big castle there. That's Lobkowitz, which is the name of the family.
Okay.
And they had a big influence on music because they were they really funded or
they would consign so forth.
Yes, yes. And they had a museum in the castle there. And we toured the museum. You got one of those little, you know, things you hold up to your ear that speaks English.
Yeah.
And the prince, who had lost a lot of his property during the Second World War, was seized by the Nazis and then by the communists who came in after that, was finally restored to him. Hmm. So among the things we saw in the museum, besides the usual jewels and portraits and everything, were manuscripts of music written by Mozart, who had a presence in Prague. And also by Beethoven. I saw the manuscript in Beethoven's hand of his Third Symphony, which the prince essentially funded for him to compose. Because even though Beethoven was a musician who made money composing music, he still needed to have a fund of some kind to put it all together. Mozart tried to do that, was not very successful. So, in a sense, this trip is like going backwards. If we look at going to Salzburg, which I'll get to a little later on, Mozart went from Salzburg and then to Vienna and then to Prague. He wasn't always popular with the Viennese, but he was always popular with the Prague audiences. They loved him.
Excellent.
And he wrote music and performed. And he gave premieres in Prague.
So you did it the other way around.
We did the other way around.
Okay.
And there was lots of other culture to see, art museums and parks, a lot of walking. We took public transportation. We enjoyed it very much. And I would recommend going back there again.
All right. Well, let's listen to that second dance, and then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more of our very own Larry King.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with WCRI's very own Larry King, and he's graced us with his presence here on Conducting Conversations rather than his regular nighttime events that he's always announcing. We made a special trip here to the studio to find out about his background and a recent trip that took him to Europe. And Larry, once again, I want to thank you for coming in, and I'm sure a lot of our audience is interested in finding out more about you. And I should say right off the top that we frequently, and you've put up with this for your entire radio career, I think we talked about this last time, people say, Larry King? And we say, yes, our very own, the original Larry King. And that's true, right?
Yeah, I like to say the real Larry King.
The real Larry.
Because the other guy stole my name.
There you go.
I don't know if he stole my name, but it's not his real name.
That's not his real name.
No, but...
But this is, that is your real name.
That is my real name, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we got that part.
I don't wear suspenders, and I haven't had seven wives.
No.
Yet.
Okay. Yet. Well, there's still time.
I don't know about that.
All right, let's get back to Europe, and where are you now?
Okay, so we left Prague, took the train to Vienna, and Vienna was a real hot spot during the classical era, which was the time of Mozart, Haydn, and early Beethoven. It's interesting to know that we call it the classical era now, which is about 80 years. But in fact, it was at that time known as the Viennese style.
Okay.
Because Vienna was such an important part in music during that time. So we took the train and we arrived. And one of the first things we did, we went to a concert. It was in the Brahms Hall. And we thought we were going to be hearing a quartet and ensemble play Brahms, but they had switched things around and we didn't know it. We got in there and they were speaking Austrian German, and they were, you know, it was like a personality there. They play a little bit of music and then this person would talk and talk. So the only thing we got out of that is a good picture of me in front of a statue of Brahms. So we appreciated that. But Vienna is really full, rich, very casual, good culture, lots of music. We did visit some other musical places. For example, we went to the Schoenberg Museum. Arnold Schoenberg was a modern composer. He invented the 12-tone technique, but I was fascinated because he was also an artist. So he did a lot of paintings, and he came up with this really modern style of music that would influence composers in the 20th century. Another place we went to was we visited the Beethoven Museum, and that was absolutely fascinating. To be able to go in where Beethoven had lived and worked and to see where he had composed music, to see his piano, to see his studio, a whole layout of what it was like. Beethoven was a very interesting man. He was kind of hard to get along with, I would imagine. But he did socialize, and even though he went deaf, he would have conversations with people, and people would write things down on books. And this is how we know so much about Beethoven, because they saved...
The books are left behind.
Yeah, most of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them were... So we have an idea of what his life was like. So we have more information about Beethoven. But even though he was from Germany, the place to be was Vienna. Mm-hmm. And he went to Vienna and established himself when he was young as a pianist and a composer. And I think he did pretty well with that.
Yeah. It seems like it turned out all right.
We also visited the Opera House. It was a tour of the Vienna Opera House, which is very extensive. And of course, in Europe, the opera is so popular, even today. And this is a huge place. We got to tour backstage. We got to walk on the stage, see them put the sets together, look from the inside down to the stage, and from the stage looking up, the huge chandeliers.
Wow.
Very impressive. Lots of gold.
Lots of gold.
Lots of gold in Europe. So
you didn't take any home with you?
No. I don't think they would allow me to do that, frankly.
Probably watching you closely.
Yeah. And we took some other tours also, some of the museums that we enjoyed and some of the buildings. But basically, walking around, taking the public transportation again, and visiting the cemetery in Vienna where all these musicians were buried. Mozart was buried in Vienna, but in a pauper's grave. So nobody knows exactly where he was buried. But Beethoven was buried in Vienna, as well as the Strauss dynasty of composers, which would have been Johann Strauss the first, the second, and, you know, others. Joseph Strauss. They were popular musicians, and they wrote popular dance music, but it's still quite good. Brahms was also buried in Vienna, and Schubert. Schubert was all buried in Vienna. So they all live there and work there in the city. So we got to go to the grave sites and pay our homage. And again, most of the people were above ground.
Well, there you go.
As far as I could tell. Oh, we also visited the Blue Danube. And it's actually blue. So we went down to a park down there. So we had a chance to visit the Danube. It was beautiful.
All right. Well, let's get to a piece of music. And before we take this next break, just to probably one of the most popular pieces of classical music. A lot of people know this one, I think.
Yes.
So we'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Larry King. Back on Conducting Conversations, I'm Mike Mano, having a very pleasant evening sitting with our very own Larry King, talking about his adventures in Europe. And Larry, you get around.
I do. I'm fortunate to be able to get around yeah. and travel and tour. And we visited Prague and Vienna and Salzburg and Munich. In Vienna, we heard Mozart's Requiem. Mm-hmm. It was done on Purian instruments and singing. It was beautiful, beautiful church. And then we took the train from Vienna to Salzburg. Now, Mozart is from Salzburg. He was born there, and he also lived there for a number of years. He did travel. He went to Vienna, lived there for a while. He was, as I mentioned before, very popular with the Czech people, mm-hmm. with people in Prague.
Now, here's something you may not be able to answer this, and this could be a dumb mic question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Would someone like him have to know several languages in order to communicate?
No. Surprisingly, most people, not everybody, mm-hmm. most of them speak English.
Really? Yep. No, I meant back in his day.
Oh, in his day? Yeah. Oh, he would have to know multiple.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Right.
I would think so. But in modern times, people speak English.
Yeah. But so that must have been something for him to be able to communicate. Once he relocated to a new place, he would have to pick up at least the dialect, if not all new language.
Well, maybe they spoke German in Czechoslovakia. Yeah. Okay. I don't know at that
all
time.
Right. But, so I was just asking a dumb mic question.
No, that's a good mic question.
Okay. All right. So where are we now?
We're in Salzburg. Took the train from Vienna to Salzburg, arrived there. Salzburg is, it's in a valley. It's very hilly. It's part of Bavaria, mm-hmm. although it's the Austrian part of Bavaria. It's kind of touristy, but that's okay. Besides Mozart, they also have The Sound of Music, which was...
When you say touristy, are you talking like Times Square or Martha's Vineyard?
sort of more like Times Square and Martha's Vineyard, because it's a city.
All right.
There are a lot of people there to catch The Sound of Music tour, and also, the castle in Salzburg was the one that was utilized by Disney mm-hmm. for his Cinderella's Castle at Disney World in Florida.
Okay. Oh,
but we were there for Mozart.
Right.
And as I say, it's in a river valley, like seemingly everything else, but the hills are high. The weather was a little different. It was a little more prone to rain. But it didn't rain very long, except the last day we were there, of course.
We didn't talk about when you actually went. What were the
This was in June.
In June.
Yeah, early to mid-June.
Oh, so you just come back.
I'm still trying to get caught up on my sleep.
Okay, all right. Excellent. So now we're there, and you're seeing other sites.
We saw the other sites, but primarily concentrated on Mozart. We went to the Mozart birthplace. Mm-hmm. They don't like to take pictures inside, but you can go in and, again, learn about Mozart and his life as a child, where the Mozarts lived. His father, Leopold, was a musician. He was very, I would say, domineering. He had six children. Two of them survived. Mozart and his sister, I think I have that right. Mozart had his sister. Her name was Nannerl, or Maria Anna, and she was also a very talented performer and a composer. Hmm. But due to the status of women at that time, he wasn't really promoted. Mozart was a child prodigy, and he started playing very young. And the father, Leopold, decided to take young Mozart and his sister, Nannerl, to tour around Europe to make money, essentially. Hmm. And Mozart could wow people. Because of his age and because of his ability to understand and perform and compose music.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So the sister never got her due, I'm guessing.
No, not really. Nothing ever survived of her composition, but we're aware of her and her abilities as a performer and a composer.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then you went from there to where?
Well, we stayed in there for a while. We did go to the Mirabel Palace to hear a string quartet by Mozart. Actually, all Mozarts, Leopold and two by Wolfgang, and then one by Mozart's son, who was a composer. Mozart had two children. One of them became a composer. And from there, we took the train to Munich. Mm-hmm. And Munich is in Germany. Munich is a large city. It's the capital of Bavaria. We did hear a concert there. The Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra played a concert in this very modern hall. A lot of Germany was bombed and destroyed during the Second World War. Right. But what did survive, I mean, they rebuilt what they wanted to rebuild.
To restore.
The castles, yeah. And et cetera. But they also built these modern new buildings. And so it was a concert that featured, as I say, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, and Kirill Gierstein was the pianist, and he plays over here in this country. He'll play at Tanglewood or in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a performance of two symphonies, one by Rachmaninoff, his second symphony, and one by Bernstein, his second symphony, and that's where the piano came in, because the Bernstein piano was involved with his second symphony.
Excellent.
And the acoustics were excellent, and the crowd was very adoring. We almost didn't get in because David had booked these tickets ahead of time on the internet, and when we went to pick them up, they never heard about us. They didn't know who we were. So the woman, who was very nice and spoke English, managed to get us in from some very good seats for that night, literally hours away, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, that worked out.
It worked out very well.
That's a good thing. Now, before we started the show and we said hello before we went on the air, you said there was one place you went and said, don't go there. I think our audience should know about that.
Okay. That would have been the Schubert Museum.
Okay.
In Vienna.
So, see, we're giving you a travel tip.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't. It wasn't worth the euros to go there. There was a lot at the Beethoven Museum, a lot at the Schoenberg, a lot about Haydn. We went to his apartment because Haydn lived and worked in Vienna for a period of time in his career. But the Schubert Museum was very limited, and they didn't seem to like us very much for some reason. I don't know. We're out of there in half an hour.
All right. Well, Larry, I can't thank you enough for coming in, making the trip down to beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, from your
beautiful
normal
place.
Hangout,
and
sharing your story of your trip with you, and I'm glad you're back and catching up on your sleep. We're going to go out with one more piece of music to kind of set the mood, and that, of course, is something that you alluded to earlier. You did see the Blue Danube.
We did indeed, yes.
And it's blue.
And it is blue. It's very nice.
All right.
And very relaxing.
Let's not make it years before your next visit.
Okay.
Hope you can come back soon and tell us more about your travels and so forth. We'll go out with the Blue Danube, and we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.